Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. I was just thinking about that song, that second to last song we sang, Christ Being Our Anchor. You know, I want to put an image in your mind. The thing about an anchor is it's really beautiful if you think about it. An anchor is a really small thing, but when it hooks into the sand, it's able to hold a massive ship still in a crazy storm. And that's what you're singing. That Christ is the anchor. And the thing I want you to think about is that it's not your strength that holds you, it's the anchor that holds you, and it's Christ. And so I think as we step into this passage, may you know, even before stepping into this passage, that you are anchored to Christ. And I hope that you find that Christ really is your anchor. And I hope if he's not your anchor, that he becomes your anchor. We're going to be in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screen for you, but I encourage you to open your Bible. And as you're getting there, for those of you guys who don't know me, my name is Josh Williams. I was a church planting resident here, like 4 years ago now? Maybe five? It seems like a long time ago. But I was a vital part of this church for a while, and then we planted a church called Restoration Hope Church. So really glad to be here today with you. And the passage that we're going to be walking through today is actually the passage I'm going to be taking our church through. That as we walk into the new year, really just kind of re-looking at just the vision that God gives for the church. And so that's what we'll be walking through today. So what I want to do is I'm going to read the passage, and then I'll pray, and then we'll walk through this passage. Starting in verse 11. And he, talking about Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together for every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray really quick. Father, I pray and just ask that you would be with us, that you would open our eyes to see you in this passage. You would give us ears to hear what you are saying through this passage, and you would give us hearts that not only understand but are responsive, that are soft, that are tender towards you and tender to what you might be doing in us, what you might be drawing us to do, what you might be calling us to do. In your name I pray, amen. If you've ever been a part of a church plant, you know that it's a journey. Church planting, it's fun, it takes energy, it's a bit of a journey. And everybody's growing in that journey. Like, everybody's on the journey. And so even the pastor, and even if you're not a part of a church plant, if you're just a part of a church, you know, if you've ever been a part of one, that it's a journey. It's a journey for everyone. And just like Christianity is a bit of a journey, church planting and being a part of a church can be of a journey. But when you're on a journey, you learn some things. And so I just want you to think about hiking really quick. Whenever you go hiking, you pass some familiar landmarks, especially if you go to the same place. If you have a favorite place that you go hiking, anybody got a favorite place to go hiking here? Anybody at all? You might revisit it. And as you go hiking, you pass familiar landmarks, and sometimes they just hit you different. Sometimes it's just the scenery. You're like, man, I haven't seen the leaves this color in a while. Or, man, I've been here a lot, and like, there's just something that's sentimental about this spot. And so in my own journey as a Christian, as I've walked with God, there have been certain passages, scriptures that have been formative for me, and it's as if every so often I come back to these same passages, as almost as if they're landmarks, and I learn something different every time I come to these passages. And so I've preached on this passage actually a ton, and we actually just recently in the summer preached this passage, really focusing on the missional aspect of this passage. But as I came to this passage, as God so often does for me, it just landed differently. And what began to pop out to me is God's heart for the church. God's desire, not just for the church. And I live in West St. Paul, and so when I say the church, something that I'm attuned to is that in the Catholic Church, the church is its leadership. But biblically, the church is the body. The church is the people. The church is you who are sitting in here. And God's vision for you is in this passage. Not his whole vision, but something specific about the church, something that God desires for the church. And so I think as you head into a new year, I think specifically for you guys, as you guys are going through a season where the elders are looking for a new pastor, my hope is not that this, like, what this does for you is say, hey, like, this tells us what kind of pastor we're looking for. No, I want you to think about yourself, Christian. The church here, I want you to be thinking about you and what God might be saying to you through this passage and hear God's heart for you in this passage. And so here's the main idea, that God desires every Christian to mature in Christ. And that's God's desire for you, Christian. And if you're not a Christian in this room, what I hope you learn and see is what God's desire is for the Christian. And if you would become a Christian, what this is God's desire for you, part of his desire for you. And you get to learn what Christianity, just a little bit, is about in this passage. And so God's desire for every Christian is to mature in Christ. And in this passage, you get this picture of what maturing in Christ looks like. So if you've been a part of a church for a long time, you hear maturing in Christ, growing in Christ, discipleship, you get a picture of what that looks like in this passage, and it looks like three things. It looks like mutual growing, spiritually anchored, everyone participates. Mutually growing, spiritually anchored, everyone participates. And so let's talk about mutual growing in this passage. There are two types of growth generally in Christianity. When we think about growth, we usually come to mind as two kinds of growth. One is just church growth, numerical growth, right? So the church growing in size, right? That's usually typically what we think about, one of the options at least. But then there's a second type of growth that usually comes to mind, and that's really just spiritual growth. Whenever we think about spiritual growth, we think about my individual growth, right? So when you think about spiritual growing, you think about, oh, me, he's talking about me, like me growing. And in church growth, we tend to think numerically, spiritual growth, tend to think me, but in this passage, I believe God is giving you a third category. There's a third category of growth that we don't normally think about, and it's spiritual growth that's focused on the spiritual growth of the invisible and the visible church. I don't know if you've heard those terms before, but the invisible church is really the big C church. We're talking about all of Christians throughout the whole world. If you're really going to get technical, you're talking about the invisible church as like the dead saints. So you know someone who's a believer and just passed away, they're part of the invisible church. But the visible church is like the local church. The local expression of the church. Like, for example, like you guys are a visible church, Christ Redeemer Church. Restoration Hope Church is a visible church. Another church you guys planted, Future City Church, is a part of the visible church, just to name a few, right? But what I want you to do is I want you to look at the picture of growth given in verses 11 through 13. Look at it with me either in your Bible on the screens. It says this, verse 11 through 13. And he gave, talking about he is Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. If you look at your footnote, if you have an ESV, it says, and womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So really quick, look at that first line, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. There's a big debate over that passage that we're not going to get into. But I just want you to know that there's a big debate on what does it even mean? But I just want to give you what I believe it means based on the context of this passage. I think if you look at the context of Ephesians, Paul is actually looking at the historical movement of God's people and how God has developed that, right? So the prophets is referring to the Old Testament mouthpieces that God used to really represent his authority to develop the people of God. Usually the prophet's role is to really call the people of God back to living in line with God's word. And now the apostles, the New Testament authority, where God is calling people to come be in restored relationship with God, establishing God's word as the authority. And then the evangelist is those who preach, who you typically think about, those who preach the gospel to non-Christians. Shepherds and teachers are elders and pastors of the local church, right? So this quick line right here represents the leaders of the church, pastors and elders, the primary leaders of the local churches today. Right? So no more apostles, no more prophets in the Old Testament sense and what we read in the New Testament. But the point is to look at the local leaders of the church. And so don't miss the point here. God uses the local leaders. Look at the next line in verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The saints, Christians. Saints just means holy one, call that one. If you are a Christian in this room, you are a saint, right? Not the kind of saint where in the Catholic Church you've done something amazing and you died and then now you're going on record in history and you're called a saint. No, like every person in this room who's a Christian is a saint. So this passage is talking about you. Talking about the people in Paul's time, the Christians of Paul's time, but you today. And so we'll talk more about equipping for the work of ministry later, but I want you to zero in now on the image that Paul gives you. Look at verse 13. I'm not going to read it, but look at the underlined. Attain, mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The image here in this passage is of growing, something developing, something maturing, something kind of developing in age. So I just want you to think about back in the day, maybe for some of you, maybe for you it's like yesterday, but think about like when you were growing and all of a sudden your foot just got bigger, right? Like hopefully both feet, but maybe it's one for you. But your feet got bigger. And then there's this thing that your parents are saying, like especially if you were like one of those kids, this wasn't me, but one of those kids, all of a sudden your feet just got massive and you just kind of like, you're just like this figure with massive feet, right? And all, but you know, you look at your daddy like, man, he's tall. That's what's about to happen. But they would tell you, you have to grow into your feet, right? And that's the image here in this passage. If you could throw that previous slide back up, that's the idea here, that you would grow into your feet, who is Christ. That you would grow up into the head, to the measure and stature of Christ. The goal is to mature, to be Christ-like, right? So if you're a Christian in this room, God's desire for you is to grow into your feet, who is Christ. And it calls him the head later on. And so unity right here, the next slide here, unity is key. Unity is key of what that looks like. It's mentioned in verse 3. It's referenced as an idea in verses 4 through 6. God's vision for individual Christians isn't to focus on their own growth. It's for individual Christians' growth to be vitally connected to the growth of the local church. And remember here, we got a third category. Not like the growth in number, not the growth in number, but we're talking about the spiritual growth of the local church. So we're talking about here the maturing of the local church. So think of it kind of like a body. I know a kid right now, he has one leg that doesn't grow along with the other. And so one of the things he has to constantly do, one of his things that his parents are constantly doing is they're taking him to get surgery because if they don't stretch that leg somehow with some kind of surgery, then he's not going to function properly. He's not going to walk properly. And so if his body doesn't grow properly, the rest of his body doesn't grow properly. That's the picture I want you to grab here. So I think some of our challenge in Christianity is that we treat Christianity like it's a product to consume. That we treat maybe this moment in this room, maybe even this sermon, you treat it like a product you consume. Because chances are you probably listened to maybe three other sermons this week. Or you listen to a podcast where you're consuming some Christian content. And I think part of the challenge is that we treat Christianity like it's a product. Like we think about me, but when you're focused on you, I want to tell you, you lose. You lose because when you focus on other people, you win. You lose because you need others around you if you're truly going to grow. Like when I was in college, one of the things I would do because I was trying to grow, one of the things I would do, I would just stay in my college dorm reading, consuming a lot of Christian material. And one of the things my friend Manny wisely said, he's like, Josh, how are you going to put those things it tells you to do to others to practice if you're stuck in this room? How are you going to grow? He's basically saying, Josh, how are you going to grow if all you're doing is reading Bible when the majority of Christianity is actually pushing you forth, thrusting you into relationship with other people? And so, Christian, God's vision for you isn't that you would focus only on your own growth. His vision for you, for the church, is that they would mutually focus on the growth of each other. And notice that this first point is mutually growing, right? Because there's this line in Ephesians that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ, which means you're growing. And I don't really have to tell you that, right? Because you know you're still growing. You're either growing upwards tall or you're growing wider, right? But like, you're growing. We're all growing. I mean, our ears get longer, our nose get longer. Whether or not we're like actually done growing our heart, like our body is still just growing, even though it's decaying, it's growing, right? So that's just the trend. That's just kind of the trend of physical life, but that's also true spiritually. I think non-Christian, what this tells you a little bit is what Christianity is about, what the church is meant to be and do. It's meant to grow. And so how do you grow? In this passage, it tells you pastors and elders, they're meant to equip you by preaching and teaching the word in ways that point you to the gospel. We'll talk more about that. But the way the church grows is through the word. And it's one of the most, in my opinion, phenomenal thing. I mean, I'm just going to put my non-Christian hat back on a little bit. Not that I'm a non-Christian, but I remember what it was like to be a Christian. And in my mind, I was thinking, man, this is what it's like. Like, every Sunday, I'm going to come, I'm going to sing a couple songs, and I'm just going to hear this guy talk, and then that's like how this thing works? Yes. The way God grows you, the way he matures you, is by speaking a word. This word is good news. It's about Christ and what he's doing through his son. Verse 13 says, one of the goals of maturity is to grow in faith, in knowledge of the Son of God. That's where the idea of the word comes in. It's a reference to the union with Christ. Like, if you don't know this, Christian, you are united to Christ, not because of what you've done, but because he has sought you and wedded you to himself, and he is not divorcing you. He's sticking with you. And so this unity is a reference to union with Christ as well, what Jesus has done on the cross, and what that means for your life. And so chapters 1 through 3, that's what chapters 1 through 3 in Ephesians is about, what God has done for you, your union with Christ. And so Christian maturity means that we are mutually growing in our faith together. That's what mutual growing means. It's ongoing, never arriving until Jesus comes, always a journey. But Christian maturity is also spiritually anchored. That's the next point. When I say spiritual anchored, I want to kind of like distinguish between what that means, because I think spirituality means so many things right now in our culture. Spiritually anchored is not just being anchored to anything spiritually. Spiritually anchored means being anchored to Christ. Look at verse 13 really quick. It says that we may attain the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, that we might be united as a church in our knowledge of the Son of God. To be spiritually anchored means to be anchored to Jesus. And so look at the image of why be anchored. Look at verse 14. It says this, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. One of the most dangerous things that's going on in our culture is the idea that children, young children, can fully understand what choices they need to make for their life. One of the most dangerous things in our culture right now is we think that a kid who's in elementary has a frontal lobe formed to be able to make critical choices about who they are, where they are, what they should be and do in their life. It's a big weight. It's so big that it's like, I mean, I'm just like, for a guy, his frontal lobe is not even done growing until he's like past his 20s, right? Like, that thing is still forming. But this thing about this picture of image, I'm not trying to disparage children. What I'm trying to get at is everyone is developing and growing. even as you're growing past the age of what we would call an adult in our culture, and everyone needs to grow. And that's Paul's point here. Everyone needs to grow. Christians are like children. They need to grow in their understanding of the gospel and be anchored to Christ. Did I lose you? Can you guys hear me? Okay, we're good. But look at the next slide here. In verse 14, he mentions doctrine. Doctrine simply means just teaching. Human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. It's a reference to the new ideas of the day. And so in Paul's day, there were different false doctrines about God and the gospel that were always popping up. I mean, they were always popping up as if like they're weeds in the summertime. Something new every season. And without being anchored to Jesus, if you weren't anchored to Jesus, you would be susceptible to be tossed about with every new teaching, every new idea, every new ideology that comes about. So when I was 19, I was working at a camp in California. Anybody been to the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic at all, right? So like, maybe you'll know where I'm going. But like in the Atlantic Ocean, the water's kind of warm, right? And the waves are kind of, they're kind of chill. If you're only from the Atlantic, you think, man, Cocoa Beach, like the wave, they got it. Like those are massive waves. But then all of a sudden you go to like to the Pacific Ocean and you get in that water and it is cold. It's like numbing cold. The only cold that I've gotten close to it is like Superior, like this water that we jump into way up there, like we think it's a great idea, like to go swimming in that in the summer, and it's deathly cold. But in the Pacific Ocean, the water is so cold that it's like, I call it ear-numbing cold. And so one of the things I'm used to doing in the Atlantic is I'm used to body surfing, right? There's like, it's just Florida. But I go body surfing in the Pacific, and I get tossed over by a wave, and I stand up, and all of a sudden, my ears are so cold that I'm dizzy. And I can't even see where I am, and I have nothing to anchor me because I'm kind of trying to stand on my own two feet. If you're not anchored to Christ, you will wobble, fumble, and stumble because the ideologies and the doctrines and the ideas of our culture will hit you so hard, it'll numb your ears with how cold and shifty and changing these doctrines and ideologies are. And so culture is moving very fast. And I want to be clear on something. I'm not telling you where I'm landing or what I'm choosing, right? But I just want to say what even non-Christians are saying. Like non-Christians in the gym that I work out at, culture is moving very fast. The newest thought and ideology is pumped out just as fast as a new iPhone's pumped out. The iPhone 15 just came out, and now there's a Pro with titanium. Like you might be able to go into like space with this thing. But the same is true with what people say is wrong with the church too. That's not just like what's out there outside the church. Same is true with what people are saying what's wrong with the church. And then there's a whole bunch of different antidotes on podcasts, YouTubes, and whoever you might listen to about what should be done. What's the antidote? What's the fix? And if you're not anchored to Christ, if you're not anchored to what the gospel means about your life, if you're not regularly giving yourself to the reading of Scripture, to study of Scripture, to praying, to the teaching of the Bible in a gospel-centered way, you will not be able to stand on your own two feet. If you are not anchored to Christ, no podcast, no YouTube, no latest online speaker is going to save you from the constant shifting changes that happen. And one of my evidence of proof of that is 2020. I mean, it rocked the church. Not just here, not just Restoration Hope Church, everywhere. And people are still trying to figure it out. There are churches that are closing. The church that we're renting from is going to close by next year. If you're not anchored to Christ, you'll always be buying into the latest cultural ideology and the buffet of choices of Christian doctrine and practices that are out there. And so you don't need to learn about the counterfeits in order to be stable. What you need to learn is Christ. Sometimes I get made fun of about how gospel-centered I am, but the thing that Paul's always focusing on, the apostle, is always on the gospel. If you want to be anchored, fix your eyes on Christ, mature in Christ. Christian maturity is about mutually growing and being anchored in Jesus. And so the vision that this passage, that not just simply Paul, but God through Paul is giving, is that you would mature, that you would give your life to, that your greatest hobby would be to find yourself in Jesus. I'm not saying your hobby needs to be like reading the Bible, like, hey, what do you like to do for fun? I like to read the Bible. That doesn't need to be your hobby. I'm not saying that, but you would commit a big part of your life to understanding who Christ is and what that means for your life. You would grow up in spiritual manhood and womanhood. And so, Christian, you can't stay an infant. If you're in this room and you're kind of just going along, God's desire is not that you would continue to drink milk, but at one point you would enjoy Fogo de Chao. Right? And don't go for the salad bar. Please don't. That Parmesan cheese looks really delicious. That big bowl of Parmesan. No, just don't. Just go for the filet mignon. Seriously. You must grow spiritually. And what Paul is telling you is not that you need to be better or you need to do better. And the reason why I say this is because I think that's something in us. Like, I think it's part of being an American. There's something in us where we're like, oh, man, Josh is talking, and this is landing with me, and, man, I just need to do better at this. No, I'm not saying you need to do better. You just need to be anchored. God, through Paul, through this passage, is inviting you once again to look at the gospel, fresh look, and cling to Christ. To be invested in your life being anchored to Christ. So Christian maturity, it's about mutually growing. It's about being spiritually anchored, and everyone participates. Look at the picture that's given in verse 15 through 16. It says, "This, and rather speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So let's go back to what Paul says in verse 12 about the role of the leaders in a local church. Their job, your pastors and elders, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And verse 11 through 14 is one big sentence. I mean, man, I don't know about Paul. I just feel like he's probably always bombing his language arts section in class. But one big run-on sentence. And then there's this new thought in verse 15. It's a continuation of what Paul's talking about here. And he's basically saying the leaders of the local church are, in verse, look at verse 16. The leaders of the local church, they are the joints that kind of hold everything together. Truthfully, Christ is what holds everything together. But in verse 7, it says he gave these men as gifts to hold it together. And the work of ministry and the building each other up is the church serving each other and doing what verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. In verse 21, Paul talks about what that truth is. He says in verse 12, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as this him is Christ, as the truth is in Christ. So go back to verse 15. The truth, speaking the truth in love, is not speaking factual things. It's speaking the realities, what's true of a Christian in the gospel. You get to a Christian who's struggling, who's really wrestling with what's going on. What they need is Jesus. So tell them about what he has done for them. Tell them about why he's the anchor and why they're not. Tell them about why they can trust in Christ and rest in him because of what he's done. Especially if a Christian messes up. Like when someone messes up really, really bad, one of the things that happens is that they get really ashamed and they begin to doubt everything about life. They need an anchor. They need to know that regardless of what they have done, even though there's probably consequences for what they've done, what they need to know is that he who began a good work in them will continue to completion. That's speaking the truth in love. And so when every Christian in the local church is speaking the truth of the gospel to each other, whether it's in a coffee shop, whether it's just like outside these doors, whether it's in DNA when you guys do that, whether when it's a phone call or a text, when a Christian in a local church is speaking the truth of the gospel to each other, to other people, the church is doing what the end of verse 16 says. It's working properly. And what happens when it works properly is it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You want to build up each other? You want to help other people grow? Man, talk about the gospel. Talk about what it means for your life. Talk about what Jesus has done and how that impacts the way that you can go to work, the way that you can go to school, the way that you can parent, the way that you can work on your car, the attitude that you have in your neighborhood. Talk about what Jesus has done. And I think here's what all this means. The church doesn't mutually grow and isn't spiritually anchored unless it all participates. In other words, the church doesn't function unless everyone participates. I think what's really helpful about this, what's good news about this, is that you don't need to be awesome. You just need to participate. like one of the easiest things you could do after the service is just like if God is teaching you something right now, something's landing on you from this passage. One of the easiest things you could do is say, "Hey, what did you think about the sermon? Can I tell you what landed with me?" Boom, like it's game time. I think everyone in this room knows if you think about your own body, every part of the body has a role in making you function. And you know that if anything goes out of whack, the other parts of the body begin to compensate until that part of the body becomes healthy and begins to function as a part of the body. But if the body doesn't, if that body part doesn't get healthy, then the body begins to malfunction and it'll always compensate until until you see a doctor and it begins to cause that muscle, cause that joint to work properly. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the body of Christ? Like, there might be some of you in here who are just like, you're just not functioning. And like, you might think, man, I feel bad. I think in some ways, church, that's okay. Those of you guys who are functioning well, like, compensate for that one or some in order to help them mature so that the whole body can function. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Like, isn't a beautiful picture in a family when one kid is sick or even a parent sick and everybody like rallies together in order to really help the whole family work until that family member can get healthy and then now the family is operating? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Like, that's the picture, the vision that God is giving of a local church. That we would compensate, we would work in, we would be for each other, we would be there for each other, we would care for each other, we would serve one another, we would help each other. So I think when a Christian hears this, maybe the impulse is to say, what gifts do I have? Like, what do I have to offer? Or, I need to grow first, and then I can be helpful. If we think about the body, that's not how the body works. You grow as you participate. The way that you help a muscle get back to working operation is PT. You start working that muscle until it gets healthy. God has equipped every Christian in this church with the ability to serve in some way, to speak the word of Christ to each other in some way. The role of leaders of the local church is to equip to those to do the work of ministry, which is those two things, to serve or to speak the word of Christ. I think sometimes equipping is helping people understand the vision of the church and then releasing them to participate. Other times it's helping other Christians to just be anchored. But Christian, what I want you to know, what I want you to hear, if you want to grow, it's not just simply by reading more of Scripture. Participate. Give yourself to other people. Serve them. Care for them. Ask them how they're doing. And by serving others with your gifts and practicing encouraging others with the gospel, what will begin to happen is God is using you to really help the other person grow. And when a whole church is doing that, it's a really beautiful thing. And so when everyone participates, it creates harmony, it creates unified functioning where everyone is. And so I want to end with this. There's a difference between a skills camp and family life. Anybody been to a skills camp for a sport here? Come on, I know some of you guys have. Yeah, come on, just go on. I know some of you have been there, right? But if you've been to a skills camp where your parents send your kids to a skills camp, you know that what they're doing is they're working on individual drills throughout the whole week, right? But in the family, the way you learn is you're learning as the family goes. You're developing. And the image I want to give you here is of family. The vision that God is giving is a local church as a family. And so I just want to encourage you, the primary weight is on the leaders to really equip the saints for the work of ministry. But the vision that God is giving is that, man, the whole local church participates to help each other grow. And I think practically what this means, if you're 5 in here and you're a Christian, you have something to offer. If you're 12 in here and you're a Christian, you have something to offer. If you're 18 and you're a Christian here, you have something to offer. If you're in your 20s and you're a Christian here, you have something to offer. If you're in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, you have something to offer. And man, one thing our culture is really not good at is that when you reach the elder age, the culture tells you you're kind of washed up and done. But in the church, no matter what age you are, if you're a Christian, you have something to offer. You're vital. Everyone in this room is vital. And so hear that vision from God to you. God's desire for you, local church, is to mature, and you're not done until you're with Christ. Man, that's good news. Maybe it's not good news because you're like, man, when can I finally arrive? But I think what that promises you is that one day you will be done. One day you will arrive, and it's when Jesus arrives. Be encouraged by that, church. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this vision. And I don't know how that lands on everybody. I don't know where people are, God. I don't know what you are doing in people. But I pray that maybe it's sobering, and I think that's a great thing. But I pray that it encourages people. I pray that it encourages people, Lord, that you are working in them, that you desire for them to mature. And that's a beautiful thing, that they have a part to play in that. And that you're always growing, that they're not done, that if they failed, they're not done, there's no hope for them, that there is hope for them in Christ, that they, as long as they're anchored into Christ, there is hope for them. And so I pray that you would help us to be people that are anchored to Christ, who are mutually growing together, and we're participating in each other's lives, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.